What's the best advice you've ever received? Today, as Stephen wraps up 1 Timothy, Paul offers Timothy and you some invaluable wisdom for life and ministry. He warns about the dangers of false teaching and the love of money. He encourages you to pursue godliness and righteousness. He reminds you to manage your resources for eternal impact. Whether it's guarding sound doctrine or living out your faith, Paul's words will challenge you today.
What's some of the best advice you've ever received from someone? One Christian author I read offered a word of wisdom when he wrote this: learn to apologize first and then do it often. Well, those are wise words indeed. Children can come up with some pretty good advice from time to time, rather insightful too, like the little girl I read about who said, "If you want a kitten, start out by asking your parents for a horse." That's pretty clever. A little boy said, "Don't ever eat anything that's bigger than your head." Well, I could only wonder how he learned that. Another little girl wrote, "If you get a bad haircut, well, just wear a hat." Well, that's pretty good advice, too. Here's one more. A 5-year-old boy wrote, "It's okay to eat a whole cake if it's your birthday." Well, I'm going to try that one myself, if I can get away with it, on my next birthday. An older adult offered this interesting advice: if you're the smartest person in the room, well, you're in the wrong room. In other words, you ought to listen and learn from others. The well-known 19th century author and pastor Charles Spurgeon once said, "The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted." Well, as we set sail one final time into Paul's first letter to Timothy, he's giving Timothy some wise advice. These are inspired words of wisdom for all of us today. And the first advice Paul offers to Timothy, well, let me put it this way. Here it is: mind your motives. Well, he begins by speaking again about false teachers. Apparently, there were plenty of them, just as there are today. So Paul writes here in chapter 6 now and verse 3, "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing." Well, these false teachers were teaching a different doctrine. It didn't correspond to the words of Jesus Christ. Paul refers to the sound words of Jesus. The word for sound gives us our word hygiene. The Lord's words are always spiritually wholesome and healthy. Now, here in verses 4 and 5, Paul has some rather frank language about a person who teaches false doctrine. He writes that this person has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarreling about words, and it just produces envy and dissension and slander and evil suspicions and constant friction. He writes here, they think that godliness is a means of great gain. In other words, if you're godly, you'll get rich. Now, some teachers promoted this, that if you're truly godly, you're going to become wealthy. You're going to have great gain. And to this day, well, false teachers are teaching the same thing. They're motivated by pride, and they're actually motivated by greed. And they don't care about what their teaching does as long as their followers send in money to line the teachers' pockets. False teachers might talk about God, might hold up a Bible every so often, but it isn't long before they're really talking about you sending them money. I heard one man say God told him to ask his followers to send in $54,000, only to find out later because his private helicopter needed new blades, and that's how much it was going to cost. Well, I wouldn't send him a nickel, and he can take the bus, as far as I'm concerned. Well, Timothy is reminded what true gain is here in verse 6, where Paul says there is great gain in godliness with contentment. See, Paul is contrasting contentment with greed. He writes here in verse 9 about those who desire to be rich. Well, they're never content no matter how much money they accumulate. Paul warns they're going to fall, he writes here, they're going to fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Let me tell you, the warning could not be any stronger here. In fact, Paul sums it up with these familiar words in verse 10. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. Now, don't misunderstand, money is not the root of evil. It is the love of money, he writes, which is the root of evils. So, what motivates you today, beloved? What do you love today? Well, the next word of wisdom here from God's Spirit through the Apostle Paul could be put this way. Here it is. Watch your walk. He tells Timothy here in verse 11, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Well, these are Christ-like virtues that have eternal value. So this pursuit for godly virtues is not going to be easy. In fact, Paul calls it here in verse 12, the good fight of the faith. Well, the Greek wording comes right out of the athletic world and refers to athletic contests. It pictures the agonizing effort of some athlete to win that competition. Well, what does this fight involve? Paul says here that it involves taking hold of eternal life. Now, that doesn't mean, beloved, that you're going to have to really stretch out to get that or work hard for eternal life, that it's a prize that you're going to have to work hard to earn. It isn't a prize at the end of life because you already have it. You just need to take hold of it and live it out, live in light of it in daily life. Well, in Timothy's case, Paul writes here about his good confession in Christ that he had made. Verse 12 says, he made his good confession in the presence of many witnesses. More than likely, this was a reference to his public baptism, something that I hope that you've done to publicly profess your faith in Christ. Baptism, beloved, was never intended to be something your parents did for you. In the New Testament, it's always something you do to profess the fact that you have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And just like Timothy now, you're publicly professing that in the face or in the presence of many witnesses. Now in verses 13 and 14, Paul gives Timothy a charge to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach. Now, the commandment here is a reference to all that Paul has been teaching in this letter. And this is a good reminder, beloved, that God's word is not a collection of suggestions or cute little pieces of advice that might be funny that children might give us from time to time. No, these are commands. This is the word of God. This is inspired truth. And we are to apply these principles to life. Paul reminds Timothy in verse 13 of the Lord Jesus' testimony when he made the good confession before Pontius Pilate. He then adds another incentive for watching the way we walk through life. That incentive is that Jesus Christ is going to appear soon and rapture the church away. Here in verse 14, Paul describes it as the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that in the future, God the Father will eventually fully reveal the glory of His Son. Verses 15 and 16 more than likely refer to that moment when the Lord returns with us following the tribulation to set up His kingdom on earth. And Paul describes that moment here as that moment when the glory of Christ is fully revealed to the entire world when He appears, Paul writes, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, with that, Paul has one more word of wisdom for us. Let me put it this way. Manage your ministry. Now, he's just warned Timothy about the love of money. And now here in verse 17, he tells Timothy to instruct those who are rich not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. And again, beloved, there's nothing wrong with money. The problem is money is temporary. money is uncertain, but ministry has eternal value. Money can pile up in a bank account and a trust fund, but Paul already reminded us back in verse 7 that, well, we brought nothing into this world and we're going to leave everything behind when we go home. That's why Paul reminds Timothy here in verse 18 that part of his pastoral ministry is to remind those that do have money, the wealthy, to be, he writes here, rich in good works, generous and ready to share. Now with that, the Apostle Paul uses a banking term in verse 20 as he closes this letter by writing, "Guard the deposit entrusted to you." You see, he's urging Timothy to cling to that which has been entrusted to him. And the context indicates he's talking about all of the sound doctrine that's continually under attack. He's saying, Timothy, don't waver from the truth. Don't waste your time with irreverent babble and trivial stuff, contradictions, silly talk that won't hold up under eternal inspection. So here are Paul's words of wisdom for Timothy and for you and me today. Manage your ministry. Invest in people. Watch carefully your godly walk and mind your motives, so that your life ultimately is set on a trajectory that brings glory to God. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Words of Wisdom. We've uncovered some timeless wisdom from the Apostle Paul. He's encouraged you to focus on godliness, manage your resources for God's glory, and stay true to the sound doctrine you've received. As you reflect on Paul's words, commit to living out your faith with integrity. Guard what's been entrusted to you and invest in others. Remember, your life is a testimony to the truth you hold dear. Here at Wisdom International, we have resources that can help you understand that truth more fully. Stephen's website contains his 4 decades of Bible teaching, and you can access all of it at wisdomonline.org. You can listen to all of his sermons, all of the past episodes of this wisdom journey, and more. Visit wisdomonline.org, then join us next time on this wisdom journey.